Good morning and welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 9th of July 2020, and day one of Lockdown 2.0 here in Melbourne. I'm Nick Hurley. Today we're going to start with the Australian Banking Association's ABA's sort of group announcement by Anna Bligh, the leader of the ABA. They've come out announcing that the major banks are going to extend the six-month payment holiday for all loans by another 4 months to 10 months. We currently have 800,000 of these frozen loans worth $262 billion. But the key message the banks are coming out saying, for example, the CEO of ANZ has said, customers on existing loan repayment deferrals who have not been financially impacted by COVID-19 will be required to begin making normal payments at the conclusion of the default six-month deferral agreement. So it's the key thing here, I think, is going to be whether these banks really enforce it and what criteria they actually use to determine whether you need to repay it or not. Like, does that mean if you're an Airbnb operator with no tenants in downtown Melbourne, does that mean you're able to get another holiday? I don't know. And I guess the devil will be in the detail with this, but who knows, we may be seeing some more loans written down as non-performing and the impacts of that. Okay, the ABA had their announcement on Tuesday, the usual first Tuesday of the month. Nothing particularly surprising there. They have noted that leading indicators have generally picked up recently, suggesting the worst of the global economic contraction has passed. But Philip Lowe, the RBA governor, says the outlook remains uncertain and the recovery is expected to be bumpy and dependent on the containment of the virus. He says that the downturn has been less than they expected, with a considerably smaller than expected fall in hours worked and a pickup in retail spending after an easing of restrictions in most states. But he did stress that withstanding these signs, the economic situation remains highly uncertain. Uncertainty about the health situation and the future strength of the economy is making many households and businesses cautious, and this is affecting consumption and investment plans. He then goes on to say, in the light of the record fiscal and monetary stimulus we've seen, that it's likely that this support will be required for some time in the future. So all in all, I think from that we can take that the RBA is sort of happy to sort of be the backstop or the sort of the underlying support for the economy, assuming that we can have, you know, adequate fiscal stimuli from the federal government. Obviously, he said this before Scott Morrison mentioned yesterday that he's considering extending JobKeeper for Victoria, the lockdown state of Victoria, further than the mid-September expiry date. So that could also sort of affect the actions of the RBA. Looking at the global economy now, former Goldman Sachs chief economist Jim O'Neill, who's also had a number of roles with the UK government, has come out with an article in the Financial Times, quite bullish for the global economy. He says things such as the subsidised furlough schemes has helped sustain household incomes through the worst of the lockdown and have in many cases boosted savings rates, which will translate into increased spending into the future. And that's one of the many reasons why he thinks financial market indices have risen sharply in recent weeks. He also mentions that he still monitors a lot of these sort of early high-frequency indicators, and he says that the number of the high-frequency indicators are also improving, and some quite markedly. Two consecutive months of US employment data and monthly PMI indicators across the US, Europe, and Asia are all pointing up. Notably, despite China's ongoing challenges, the Caixing Services PMI Index rose to a 10-year high of 58.4 in June. He also says that he thinks the Chinese PMIs are actually fairly reliable figures, showing that in February though the same PMI was down to 26.5. He also mentioned South Korean exports were substantially stronger than in previous months, although still 11% lower year on year. So he's, you know, fairly bullish, and he says if lockdowns remain localized and temporary, if health systems continue to expand testing, and especially if a vaccine or more effective treatments are developed, the economic outlook need not be as bleak as many believe. So another bull there. And touching upon an interesting section of last week's Economist newspaper from the UK, talking about the impacts of zero interest rates on currencies. So in a typical sort of world with positive interest rates, if, say, Australia were to suffer a massive fall in iron ore exports, for example, the central bank would cut, the RBA would cut rates to fire up domestic spending to make up for the shortfall in iron ore exports. But obviously with zero interest rates, that particular thing cannot be done. So they look at if the exchange rate is the only game in town, that basically that will have to fall to make up for the, you know, the lack of demand. They do mention that obviously the more closed economies, the exchange rate would have to fall further because the more open you are, the less barriers there are to buying. So the price is only one of those things. So a bigger fall in price would mean, would be needed for things, economies that are a bit more closed. What else might attenuate currency volatility? Fiscal policy might seem an obvious influence. The more a government spends in response to a shock, the more less stimulus is needed by other means, including depreciation in currency. So they argued that wealthier countries with large borrowing capacity, central government borrowing capacity, will help ameliorate that. But it's certainly something to sort of consider in terms of your currency hedging going forward, where there could be an increased sort of bout of volatility in currency. Looking at markets now, 33 minutes after the US open, the Nasdaq is up 1%, the S&P up 60 basis points. We're seeing a rally in the gold price. It's now hit another record at $1,826 an ounce. So exciting times there for gold. And that is your Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday. Have a lovely day.